Okay, am I on? All right, I just want to make an announcement real quick. You're all crazy. You need to shut up. All right. Well, real quickly, let me invite you to room 139 to get a pack of information, and you need to check out the possibility of working on camp staff. I can't think of anything better to do than to work on staff at Indian Creek Baptist Camp. You impact over 2,000 to 3,000 lives. You're put on a great team, have a lot of camaraderie. The preaching is second to none. It's unbelievable. And here's an amazing fact. The Howell Sanderson Tour Group will be there 2 weeks. And you get to go to the world's greatest swimming hole. And the thing is, you get paid to do it. Man, you get free lodging, free food, and you make enough money to come back and go to college the next semester. So you can't beat that. Well, I do want to say that I'm glad to be here. This is my first time that I preach. I thought Sunday school, as Brother Wilkerson said, as the first time I preach, except for my speech therapist. She asked me after I was about to finish up there. She's taken me about as far as I can go. But she said, I want you to preach a sermon. So I thought, oh, why do I preach one that gets this lady under conviction or what, you know? And so I pulled out a youth sermon and I was using it. And so I thought I'd freak her out a little bit. And so I told the illustration of the three little pigs. And I said, once upon a time, there were three piddlegs. And the first piddleg came up upon a man riding a wagon and said, sir, will you sell me some pigs to build me a stouse? He said, sure. So he built a hick's house. Along came the big white wolf and said, piddleg, let me in. Her eyes got about that big. She thought my speech was really going out haywire, you know. It said, no, not by the chair of my henny hen. Said, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll hold your blouse down. So he huffed and he puffed and he held his blouse down. Then she was looking at me real strange. So I continued on to the third piddleg. And I said, so third piddleg built a hick brouse. And along came the big white wolf and said, piddleg, let me in. Said, no, not by the chair of my henny hen in. He said, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll hold your blouse down. So he huffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed, but he couldn't hold his blouse down. So he said, I got an idea. I'll just chime down the chimney. What he didn't know, three piddlegs put a pan of what hotter, and when he chimed down the chimney, he burned up, and the three piddlegs lived happily ever after. And she about freaked out when it was all done, you know. So other than that, this is the first time. I apologize for not wearing a tie today. I don't know how many people have preached without a tie, but be honest with you, I think ties are of the devil. And so Brother Manley used to make us wear a tie every day when we come in to work as staff, except for Friday. And so I was guilty always coming in without a tie, and Brother Ed Snyder and the staff would get on me, how come you don't have a tie? I said, oh, I'm going to camp, man. I got to go up there and do some work. And then they'd ask me another time, oh, I'm youth director. I got to set up for a youth activity. And then another time, well, I'm buildings director. I have to do some dirty work. And however, anything to get out of wearing a tie. I went to extreme measures today. I had a stroke, okay? And so that's pretty extreme. After I had my stroke, Brother Johnny Pope, he sent me a video and encouraged me. I preached before him at youth conference. And I referred to him as being my sensei. He was my concentrated evangelism teacher here at House Anderson. And so he said later on that he would give me an A+ for preaching that message. But then he said, then you had to go out and stroke out on us, you know. So here I am, stroked out and everything. My wife's here. I'd like to recognize her. Carla, you stand. Thank you. And Miss Jamie sat beside her. Me and Brother Eddie, we got the best two-looking girls at Howells Anderson College, you know. And so my wife's been my biggest helper and supporter and caregiver and protector. And matter of fact, Dave Russ is there. He knows everybody's scared of her. She said, I'm going to let you take my husband in the car. But you take him, you better take care of him. You better not let him fall. You better not let this. You better not. And she watches out for me. And so In a crowd, she runs interference. We went to look at Christmas lights, a big crowd, and she's running interference. She's kind of like Olga, you know, like a he-woman, manly girl or something. She said, you better not watch out. My husband had a stroke. He's got a cane, you know, clear the way. And so she wouldn't let me ride the golf cart for about a month or two at camp. And I said, I can ride it. She said, no, you're not riding the golf cart. And so I remember we went in Sam's and got on a little electric scooter, went around. I was trying to pop a wheelie, but it wouldn't do it. And so after we got done, I said, Carla, I said, this thing is just like riding the golf cart, except the golf cart goes 30 miles an hour faster, you know. And finally, after a little while, she said, okay, you can ride the golf cart, but I want you to ride shotgun. I said, no. I said, you got to hold that steering wheel. I said, it stabilizes. It really does. I said, somebody turn and I'd flip out. So she finally let me drive the golf cart. You know, I drive the Jeep around camp now, I drive the van around camp. I have a goal to get my driver's license by the end of February. She's not too excited about that. But I believe that by the time camp comes around, see my thumb, watch this. Oh, see that thumb move? Hey. You have a thumb throttle on a four-wheel. I believe they could take an ace bandage and strap my hand to the handlebars, and I might be able to pop a wheelie by then, you know. And so, anyway, I stand before you today with a heart full of gratitude. Of the grace and the goodness of God in my life. Thank God for my wife, for my therapist, for the prayer of all God's people, and most of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm also thankful for this place. I learned so much here. And have so many good friends that are here. I can't think of a better place to preach for the first time than this place. Thank you for allowing me to preach. I hope you'll be patient with me, as I'm sure that I'll struggle along the way. So here we go. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Most of you know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I'd like to preach to you on the subject, divine detours. Divine detours. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we most of us have it memorized, and it's just like, oh-hum, here it is. But I tell you, that verse has really become powerful and more alive than ever before, because when you hit bottom, You look up and you say, Lord, I got to trust you with all my heart, and I don't know what to do. So you don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he promised he'll direct your path. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I pray that you bless the message, that you help us realize you have purpose and a plan for us when you send a divine detour. And I pray that if anyone here has one in their life or one coming up in their life, that you'd make application to them. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going along on this journey of life, and I was in my summer schedule and summer journey, and I was in the busiest season of my year. You know, I say many times that if ministry is working busily in the hospital, then camp is working in the emergency room. We kicked off camp with two weeks of staff training. Then we had team week 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Then we had junior week, and I snuck up the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and I preached at the 50th anniversary youth conference. And then I went back real quick, and we had another teen week, and then we had combo week. We had Brother Stedman and Brother Eddie Lapina preaching at that week. We kicked off Monday night with a bang, Brother Eddie did. And I stayed in a teen service, and he preached a great message. And then the service, we had a nighttime activity, and then after the activity, I fellowshiped with Brother Eddie a little bit and everything, and we ate a little bit, and then I went to bed about 1 a.m. I woke up at about 6:30, and I went to the restroom, and then I laid back down. I said, I'll lay down for a half hour. So I lay back down and went to sleep, and then I woke up. It was very strange. I couldn't turn over. I tried everything, and I couldn't turn over. And the right side of my body had no movement to it at all. And so I tried. I kept trying and trying, and I didn't know what was happening. So I flipped off my bed. I finally flipped over, and the bed's about this high, and I flipped off, and my arm went up under my back. It's a wonder I didn't break it. And then I took my left foot, and I reached up to try to get the phone cord, and I reached up and got the cell phone. I pulled the cell phone off, but it became unplugged. And then I reached around and got it with my left hand, and I text Brother Dave Downing, "Come quick, I've had a stroke." And messages don't get out at camp real good. We don't have reception, and it's a miracle it went out. But I had to copy and paste it 4 times, and so I put, "Come quick, I've had a stroke." He thought I made a typo, and he thought I put, "Come quick, there's a snake." So he come out of his house with a shotgun, and he went over to Ron Kendall's cabin, because we were just at Ron Kendall's caulking it, because the snake snuck in his cabin and through his fireplace. So he went over looking for me. Then he realized the garage door was shut, and that my four-wheeler wasn't out, and he finally realized, I guess he's probably had a stroke. So he got the hidden key, and he unlocked the door, and he came in with the shotgun. I guess he was going to put me out of misery like a suffering horse or something. But he called 911, and then I remember he helped me get on a T-shirt, and he helped me get on my gym trunks. And it seemed like it took 5 minutes for the EMS to get there, but it took 45 minutes. It's a long ways there, and I can't tell you what went on. I was in and out of it. And so they came in, and they loaded me up, and they took off down the camp road. And then I thought to myself, this isn't part of my summer journey. I'm supposed to be born to fly Poe devotions. And breakfast and personal devotions. Then God said, "You've been detoured. I've got you on a detour, and you better hang on, because it's going to be a long one." A detour forces you to take another road. I'm not talking about the fact that you chose. There was a choice in the matter, and with excitement, you got off an exit ramp, and you went down that ramp, and maybe you went down that way to disaster or something. I'm not talking about that. You have no choice in the matter. It's the only route to take. Therefore, it's a divine detour. I was in the hospital 3 days and in rehab 25 days, a total of 28 days. I couldn't move anything on the right side of my body. About the fifth day, I was able to move my big toe. And the sixth day, I could move my thumb. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize what a stroke is, I think. They say, "How's your leg doing?" or "How's your arm doing?" But really, it shuts down everything. Your pec, your shoulder, top of your shoulder blade, every muscle on your right arm, every muscle on your buttocks, every muscle on your leg, and all that is shut down totally. And if it's on the left side of your brain, it affects the right side of your body. If it's on the right side of your brain, it affects the left side of your body. I was complaining to the therapist one day. I said, "I wish it would have been on the other side, because I just spent $120,000 on this knee to get it replaced, and this leg is stronger, and then I write with my right hand." And she goes, "No, you don't wish it was that." I said, "Well, why not?" She said, "Well, really, that affects your intellect. It affects your thinking ability," and that's true. And I can honestly say I can think 100% of everything. I can think totally straight. My wife says maybe it affects my short-term memory sometimes. I think it, you know, like when she says, "Come to supper," or "Do you want a massage?" You know, I hear that, but to change this light bulb, you know, maybe it does affect that. I don't hear that very well, you know. But anyway, a stroke that. What happens is about that much of my brain, I saw it in X-ray, died. And so the brain is an amazing thing, how God made it, that all these pathways reconnect to different things. And I got to wait for the connection for all of them to reconnect. But then they finally did. So I've got all the movement and the potential to be able to get better. I just have to strengthen everything now through therapy. And so I thank the Lord for that. My dear friends came to see me in the hospital. Brother Eddie was the first one to come. Brother Tim Rule flew in from the second day from California. Brother Kirk Copeland drove up, and many people, Brother Wilkerson, my pastor, on and on, texts and love offerings. They were a great source of encouragement. Brother Kenny Baldwin, he has texted me every day for 6 months now, every morning a brand new text and prays for me. And Tom Williams lives 15 minutes from my house. He comes over frequently and prays for me daily. The Lord has been good. For 6 months, I've gone to physical therapy twice a week and about 3 hours of therapy on the days that I don't go. I was focused on another road to take, but I had to take a detour. I didn't like it. And quite honestly, I still don't like it. But I know this. I realize that God's got a plan, and that in the providence of God, this is who will. My good friend John Bishop says, God is always good, and God is always right. My wife and I were laying in bed one night, and she asked me if I ever asked God why. And I said, yes, I did one time, and then I didn't ask anymore. I just fully trust him. It is what it is, and I can't do anything but trust him all the way. I cannot say I have all the answers and why this has happened. I know some of the reasons, but I can say this for sure, that God is loving and that he's kind, and he always does what's best and always what's right. God wants to take our trials and our tests and make them a testimony. God is not here to help you out of trouble. He's here to get in trouble with you. Spurgeon said, I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me on the rock of ages. That's pretty good. I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me on the rock of ages. First of all, I'd like you to see the flow factor. Don't fight it. Flow with it. The flow factor. Don't fight it. Flow with it. You're cruising along 70 miles an hour on the expressway. You look up and you see a detour. If you're honest and you're like most of us, you gripe. You may say, man, I'm going to be late. I could do without this. Where is this taking me? It's going to take twice as long. And lots of complaining. But don't fight it. Flow with it. Look on the bright side. You may have needed to get off and go to the restroom. You may have needed to get off because you needed gas. Or it could be that wreck was caused, or that detour was caused by a wreck, and at least you weren't in it. You know, you're on a state highway now, so you may as well enjoy it. You might see an ice cream shop and stop and get an ice cream, or you may see a yard sale you wanted to go to, or who knows, maybe an old school 30-foot Paul Bunyan's there. You want to take a picture with him or something? And so just flow with it. You know, take Joseph, for example. It was God's plan to exalt Joseph. He had a dream, and he was excited about that dream. He told it to his brothers, and his brothers were going to kill him. And Reuben said, no, let's not kill him. Let's put him in the well. Joseph, you didn't think that you'd see your dreams could come reality like this, did you? And God said, Joseph, I got you on a divine detour. Then they decided to pull him out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And then the Ishmaelites sold him to Potiphar. And it could have been, Lord, I'm being sold as a slave on an auction block, and I don't see where this detour has taken me, he said. Then Potiphar promoted him, and he was overseer of all that Potiphar had. And Joseph thinks, okay, this detour is going to turn around now. But then his wicked wife seduces him and lies about what happened, and Potiphar throws him back into prison. The Lord said, Joseph, I still have you on a divine detour. Then Pharaoh had a dream, and none of his magicians of Egypt could tell him what it was about. Then the baker that was in prison with Joseph said, I remember a Hebrew that was there, and he could interpret dreams. And so he pulled him out of the prison, and he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. And then he was used by God in the end to rescue his family and the children of Israel. Joseph, your divine dream or your divine detour teaches us this. When it seems like everything is going wrong, in the end it will turn out right. When it seems like it's all going wrong, in the end it will turn out right. Don't fight it, flow with it. You know, maybe you've been financially withdrawn from your classes, or you've been laid off and the business is shutting down. Maybe you had a car wreck and now you're without a vehicle and you've been taken to court over the wreck. Maybe your fiance broke up with you, whether a boy or girlfriend, and it's going to take you a year longer than you graduated and than you thought. And because of sickness, maybe you can't take a full load and you have to check in the infirmary, or you have to go only take 12 hours. Remember Joseph, when it seems it was going wrong, it all turned out right. You didn't see the detour ahead in your plans, but it's all been mapped out by God. Number two, secondly, I like us to see the familiar factor. You find out that many others are in the same fix that you are. The familiar factor. You find out that many people are in the same fix that you are. You know, there are thousands of roads in America, and everyone is moving freely. Millions of people are on the road and did not take a detour, but hundreds are on the detour that you're on. And at first you worry about yourself getting through the detour, but then you start looking around and you realize everyone else is the same fix, and some in far worse shape. As a preacher, I've gone to hospitals all my life, and you only know one or two that have this sickness or that sickness at a time. But you look around at physical therapy where I go, and there's hundreds of people. On my floor alone, there's 20 people that go in and out every hour, and that's 8 hours. That's about 160 of people. And that's just my floor. You take the other floors, it ends up there's three more floors. There's about 500 to 600 people that come and go. Then there's five floors of rehab, and there's 30 people on that floor. There's about 150 more, so about 700 people. And it's just one rehab center in Louisville. I look around at rehab, and I look at those people, and I see that most of them are in far worse shape than I am. One guy, I think, is better shape than me. And everybody there, I look around, and I see this elderly black lady, and she had a stroke, and her hands all up like this, and her foot's all curled up. And one lady, she lost her peripheral sight from the stroke, and she can barely walk. And then I asked Katie, my therapist, the other day, there's this guy she worked with before me, and she has to pick him up in a harness and put him out on the bed and then put him back in the harness and put him in his wheelchair. And I said, what's your goal with him? What do you try to do? She goes, I just try to get him to blink his eyes or some response. And then there's this little 12-year-old boy. They put him on the special treadmill. There's five people that have to work with him. They have to move his legs for him. And then the other day, there's a little bitty girl, about 9 years old. And then this one guy that were there at the same time, he had it on the other side of his brain. And he says, up, 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 yum, 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 get better, get better. And he talks like that. And but yet, he can't help it. He had a stroke on that side. They even had to do surgery to see if he would get better. And so, you know, there's so many people that have it worse than we do. And the Lord has specifically given me a burden, especially for handicapped people. I've prayed for many of them and encouraged them and passed out tracts. My wife and I have gone around to every therapist that I've had and invited them to church. We know it need to open our eyes, and people are hurting all around us. We don't shun them or judge them or be grossed out by them, but rather pray for them and love them for Christ's sake. I'm on a divine detour. I'm also very thankful for the highway workers, the therapists that put up the direction signs and know how to guide us through this detour. Now, I realize this, that everyone won't have the same thing, but everyone has something. Your detour may be different than mine. Everyone may not have the same thing, but you have something. And we all need to have compassion and take opportunities to minister to people. 2 Corinthians 3:4 says, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are also in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. Thirdly, I like us to see the focus factor. Focus on your future, not your failure. Focus factor. Focus on your future, not your failure. It's easy to focus on our faults and failures, and when it seems like, especially when it seems like it's one big epic failure, But I couldn't get out of bed the first 5 days. And that means I couldn't go to the restroom. That means I couldn't take a shower. That means somebody had to feed me. You can figure that out. Then when I could get up, the nurse had to pick me up out of bed and put me in the wheelchair. And then a nurse had to give me a shower for about 2 weeks. That's pretty humbling. And the first day I went to rehab, I was just able to walk 20 feet for an hour. Could walk 20 feet and had to hold both rails, well, hold one rail. And my brain was just starting to connect and so forth. I'm a pretty active guy. I hunt, I swim, I cliff jump, I snow ski, I ride my four-wheelers, I travel and speak, I fly, I drive a lot and so forth. But now I can't do any of that. So I thought to myself, what will I do for fun? I thought, well, I used to build model cars. I'll get a model and I'll build it. Well, it takes two hands. I thought, well, I'll go fishing. Well, it takes two hands to reel in a fishing pole. And well, I'll shoot my handgun. Well, it takes two hands. And I just can't do any of that. Early on, two or three different times, be honest with you, I cried. I just cried uncontrollably. And I just had the thought, I wish things could be back the way they were. But I have to remind myself, I'm not on a detour. I'm on a divine detour. God has me on this detour, and on this path for reasons. Therefore, I'm going to focus on my future and not my failure. Don't let distractions determine your direction. Don't let distractions determine your direction. When there's a major setback, it could be time for a miraculous comeback. I'm planning on working and trying to get better. I have one main job, and that job is to get better. And I go to camp once or twice a week. And now I have been about a month after my stroke, after I got home, I started going to camp, and now up to twice a week. I ride the golf cart around, and I boss the guys and tell them what to do. They probably don't like it much, but they got to live with it. And since my stroke, I've personally been fundraising to over 102 businesses and raised thousands of dollars for the camp. If you drove on the camp property, you would realize it's pristine, and it looks like we're ready to start camp for the summer. We have all of our tractors and mowers and weed eaters are serviced and hanging on the wall, and they're all sitting there ready to go. And we have planned a power pack summer for the summer, and where God's going to transform lives. And my personal time alone with God is great. I love every minute of it. I don't know how much better I'll get the first week. All I could do was move my big toe and my thumb. But now I can walk 0.8 mile a day with my cane. And as a matter of fact, they just took my cane away from me. First, they took me out of the wheelchair. Then they said, Carla can come with my cane. Then they took Carla away from me, and I was on my cane. And now they took my cane away. I can walk short distances with a cane. So, you know, failure in the past doesn't nullify purpose in the future. And I'm focused on my future, not my failure. Glance at your problems and gaze at the Lord. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Philippians 4:13, of course, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Jeremiah 33:3, call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. And finally, I would like us to see the faith factor. By faith, believe God that is working for good. The faith factor. By faith, believe God that's working for good. You know, we all know the verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are according to his purpose. You know, it doesn't say that all things are good. There's nothing good about a stroke. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But it says all things work together for good. You know, I've said it before, and it's a positive statement. You hear the world say it a lot. They say, oh, it's all good. It's all good. The only problem is that's not Bible. It's not all good. There's some pretty hard things in life. And, you know, the guy that says it's all good, okay, in a couple of weeks when the Super Bowl's on, just sit down there and if it's all good, then sit down there and you like chocolate cake, right? Well, some of the ingredients go in chocolate cake is a flour. So sit down there and watch the Super Bowl and get a tablespoon of flour and put it in your mouth and just munch on it and then okay, take a big thing of Crisco and just eat it. And then I'm a He-Man, I'm going to drink some raw eggs and chase it down with some raw eggs. No, it's not all good. But if you take that flour and you take those eggs and the Crisco and you put some milk with it and put some sugar with it and put some cocoa with it, and then you stir it up and you work it together and you work it together, then it all works together for chocolate cake. And God works all things together for good. And Julian Pope, that's Johnny Pope's dad, said, God moves seldom early and never late. Faith don't quit until the miracle happens. Where you cannot trace God's hand, we can trust his heart. Where you cannot trace God's hand, you can trust his heart. Divine detours. The faith factor, don't fight it, flow with it. The familiar factor, you find out there are others on the same or that are in the same fix you are. The focus factor, focus on your future and not your failures. And the faith factor, by faith, believe that God's going to work it out for good. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today and thank you for the message. I pray that, Lord, that if anybody here, Lord, is on a divine detour, something's come up in their life that you would work. And Lord, that you would help us to realize by faith that you put us on that detour and to totally trust you. And then, Lord, a lot of people that have it in worse shape than we do, help us have compassion on them and love them for Christ's sake. And Lord, help us to focus on our future and Lord, not our failures, and believe you by faith to do some things. I pray that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen.